Welcome to Buy This Comic, the show where we ignore all the new comics that come out each week except for one. I'm your host, Jason Mojica, and this week we're joined by Ron Mars. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Ron is the writer of Almost American, a 5-issue limited series published by Aftershock Comics. The first issue is on shelves now. We'll talk to Ron all about it right after this word from our sponsor.
Comics, they're not just for grown-ups anymore. Join the Hey Kids Comics Club, and every month we'll send you a new graphic novel for kids ages 6 to 10, plus a members-only zine with lots of fun stuff in it. Go to heykidscomics.net to learn more.
Okay, so Ron, this series is based on a true story. How did you get involved with it?
I just got a call from Aftershock, the publisher, from Mike Martz specifically, who I've known for years, at his previous stops at Marvel and DC, and even before that, back to his Wizard days. And he said, we've got this real story that we think you might be a fit for. Owing to my, partially, I guess, to my days of the first job I ever had was as a journalist. Oh. So taking the true facts, as they say, mm-hmm. or actually what I learned in journalism school was all facts are true. They're just facts. so taking the facts of what happened and then sort of weaving it into a comic story. And they sent me the material. They sent me the, you know, kind of the background of what the whole thing was. And I was really intrigued by it. It's a fascinating real life story. So I agreed to sign on, and first issue out this week.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, you know, what makes Aftershock the right publisher for this book, but I think you just kind of answered that. I understand you developed this in close consultation with the Newmans, who are the couple, the spy couple that this is based on. So what does that entail? What were those sessions like?
You know, phone calls, emails, texts, Zoom calls, all of the above.
I'm actually going to cut you off because I realize we haven't explained what this is. Tell us what the book is. Sorry.
This is the true story of Jan and Victoria Newman. Those are their names now. Mm-hmm. Those weren't their names when they were in Russia. Mm-hmm. Who were both Russian intelligence operatives. Both worked for the FSB, which is what the KGB turned into. Mm-hmm. So they had full rich lives in Russia that involved them working for Russian intelligence. And eventually those full rich lives turned into, boy, we need to leave Russia. Because they ran afoul of other people in the Russian intelligence community. So they decided to pack up and leave the country, for their own health. Mm-hmm. And wound up in the Dominican Republic, which is where the first issue actually picks up, and then eventually come to America as assets of the Central Intelligence Agency, and then eventually the FBI. Both the CIA and the FBI were involved in sort of running them as assets for the United States. And this is the real story of how that all came about, what they did once they got to the United States, and how basically the whole thing fell apart because of internecine warfare between the FBI and the CIA to see who was actually going to have them as an asset.
I see. You know, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, your background as a journalist, because I wanted to ask, there are as many ways to structure a nonfiction story as there are one that's totally made up. So I'm curious how you decided, you know, once you knew the chronological beginning, middle, and end of the story, how did you decide where to start it as a comic?
Well, you want to start with what is at least if not the most interesting scene, the one of the most interesting scenes. You know, you want to start with the hook. You want to start with how you actually lure the reader into your story. So issue one starts with Jan and Victoria walking into the U.S. Embassy in the Dominican Republic and saying, "We need to see your spies."
Take me to your leader.
Pretty mic drop sort of opening for them. But that's what really happened. They just walked in cold and said, "Hey, we're Russian spies. We want to talk to your people." Obviously, that sets off a mad scramble. So that's how the story unfolds. And then in the ensuing issues, we get the background of both Jan and Victoria as they, you know, they're growing up in sort of Russian service families and how they got to be intelligence operatives. And then obviously the rest of the story is what happened to them once they got here, which entails them, entails their journey from initially Virginia to Philadelphia to Portland with a stop in Salt Lake City. So these were very much people without a country and really kind of at the mercy of the U.S. government to do the right thing by them.
Can you talk to me a bit about working with artist Marco Castiello?
Marco is terrific. He's an Italian artist, done Marvel stuff. So we felt like we're lucky to lure him into this project.
Based in Italy?
Yes. You know, this is not the easiest assignment in the world because you're drawing real people doing real things in real locations. You know, this is not a situation where you just make it up. So part of my script process is to try to track down as much specific reference for Marco as I can. You know, this is what the Salt Lake City skyline looks like. This is what the courthouse building in Utah looks like. This is the specific building where they stayed in Philadelphia. And obviously, you know, drawing real people, drawing on in Victoria. It's a reference heavy assignment, but it's lively and it's got life to it, which you don't always get when it's a reference heavy assignment. So I think it's doing just a really, really amazing job on sort of bringing a comic sensibility to it, but also making sure that this feels very much like the real world.
Right. Do you think after talking to the Newmans and learning about their world, do you think that you'd make a good spy?
That's an interesting question, Jason. I don't know. In any of the press that we've done for this, nobody's ever asked that. So good on you for coming up with that one. I don't know. I think it would be difficult to live your life in this fashion. You feel like there's always something hanging over your head. That the amount of angst that you have to absorb doing that, I think, would be very difficult and stressful in the extreme. Even after they were here, they're very much at the mercy of people who may or may not have had their best interests at heart. People who saw them as human beings that we needed to take care of versus people who saw them as assets to be used however the particular faction of the government saw fit. So I don't know. I've got a pretty good poker face, so that aspect would probably be okay. But I don't know about the rest of it.
And so where are you based?
I am in upstate New York.
Oh, okay.
Up near Albany. I grew up in the Hudson Valley. So grew up in the Hudson Valley, spent a few years in Florida for the late lamented CrossGen Comics. And then when we moved back a little further north to have a little bit more land around us.
Understandable. So is there a good comic shop near you that carries Almost American?
There is. There's a number of them, actually.
Shout out galore. Go for
Excellent it. Adventures, which is run by my buddy John Belskis, who also runs the Albany Comic Con, which is sort of the classic corner store comic shop. And then there's Earthworld right on Central Avenue in Albany, which is kind of the big one. The big, you know, fully stocked shop. And then a little further south, there's October Country in New Paltz, which was actually the first comic shop I ever went into as a kid. When I grew up, I didn't know there were such things as comic book shops. So took me until college to actually, college or maybe senior year of high school, to figure out that there was such a thing as a comic book shop.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the earliest books you bought at that first comic shop?
I think I bought stuff like Ronin, Dark Knight Returns, but that whole sort of mid-80s renaissance of Watchmen, Dark Knight, Batman Year One, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I know I got at that shop.
That's cool. That's very cool. Before I wrap it up, is there anything else you'd like to say about the book that I have failed to prompt?
Let's see, we should mention the covers, which are by, Russ Wooten, who was also the letterer on the book.
And I know this name, I don't know if I'm just making that up or it's just some like false deja vu, but who's Russ Wooten?
Well, Russ is, you know, is a known, is a known letterer and designer in the business and has been doing it for quite a while. And, Mike Martz, the editor, came to me and said, "Hey, what would you think about Russ Wooten doing the covers?" And I was like, "You know, Russ is a letterer, right?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, but he's got some really cool, you know, sort of designy stuff in mind for the covers, so they look like these sort of, you know, almost proletariat poster kind of images, which are just perfect for the series." So. Yeah, I'm just thrilled with the kind of work that he's doing for the covers. They're very, you know, they're very graphic, very, you know, sort of East versus West kind of imagery. And he's just done a great job. And, you know, I guess the other thing I should mention is that just, you know, the book wouldn't be what it is without the generosity and the time of, in particular, Jan Newman, who, you know, who I'm on the phone with all the time now, is, you know, we're friends, and my friend, the Russian spy, you know, and, you know, just the, you know, there was a stack of reference material, the, you know, the biggest chunk of it was basically a book pitch with all of the background and everything, and then a number of articles, Newsweek, Guardian, a bunch of places that covered their story when they sort of were left out in the cold by the U.S. government. So I had this whole stack of material from which to call the story. But the biggest thing about the biggest asset is, you know, just having conversations with Jan and him telling me stories about incidents that happened, that, you know, the incidents that never made it into any of the research material or any of the reference material, just very human stories of you know, the issue four of the series actually starts with a driver's ed story that Jan told me that he and Victoria had to take driver's ed courses in order to get their licenses. And they basically had to pretend that they didn't know how to drive. Obviously, these are Russian intelligence operatives. They know how to drive better than anybody. That's part of the training that they had. So they basically had to pretend that they didn't know how to drive. And at one point during the driver's ed classes, Victoria got tired of pretending she didn't know how to drive. So that's the opening scene in issue 4, which is a terrific, terrific story that is absolutely 100% true.
Well, I look forward to that. Okay, well, the first issue of Almost American is the only one that's out right now, so you should head down to your local shop and buy this comic. Ron Mars, thank you for joining us.
Jason, it was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
And you listening in, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and follow us on the social media. We are simply Buy This Comic, all one word. Goodbye.